Hello, dear listener. It's James here at about 10:45 on Saturday morning. I should be doing housework, but I've just listened to Phil's audio boo, Daylight Gambler, if you follow him. If you don't, why not? He's very good. About mis-selling and mis-reviewing. I also listened to Claire and Paul's audio boo as well, which followed on to Phil's previous one about the fake reviews in the App Store about the new Audioboo app, which I think is a bit naughty. And that's Claire Randall and VIP Oddcasting. VI Podcasting, that's better, isn't it? But yes, I wanted to move on to the point about fake reviews. Phil really did summarise much of what I thought and raised some interesting points that I had not considered as well, so it's well worth a listen to his Audioboo. But yes, in terms of how to run a business and placing your own reviews on your own site, I mean, all it basically is free advertising, isn't it? It's not necessarily ethical, but while other companies may well do it, it's or encourage it or get away with it. Maybe that's the trend, and people tend towards the lowest common denominator. If they cannot come up with something more creative as a solution. But one of the points I was going to make, I made a small list, is that reviews are active. And that's critical, certainly if you're a podcaster. Almost every podcast I listen to is, go onto iTunes, leave us a positive review because that helps us, or any review at all because that helps us go up in the rankings, because it means people are listening and people are responding to it. Much of what goes on, certainly in terms of media consumption and indeed applications, ends up unreviewed. I mean, how many times have you loaded an application and within a couple of days of having used it, it says, please rate our app? Not now, never, whatever. Because it does help them to gain that foothold in the massive app store that's out there. But most people don't, and that's the point. So if not many people do review an application, an app, the fake ones are going to outnumber it. So it behooves you, if you are an iOS user of the Audioboom app, to write a review, and then the real reviews will come through. You know, just think how much effort and work it would be for Audioboom staff to write their own reviews. To counter the ones that people are, in all honesty. So yeah, don't just sit there. Act. Speaking of which, I mean, I haven't written reviews of things I should have done, I guess. When I've ordered stuff off Amazon Marketplace, the people who sell me the stuff will often send up a follow-up email after a couple of weeks, perhaps, to say, please send us a positive review, not of necessarily of the product, but of our shipping and politeness and all that business, so it makes us look better. And again, they'll even offer things like, I will give you 10% off your next purchase, or put you into a free draw, because these reviews mean something to them. They have a currency, effectively, to the extent that the likes of TripAdvisor and TrustAtrader, two websites which would normally one would consider to have a good reputation, or having the reputations tarnished because of fake advertising, because of fake reviews rather, people can't trust these sites anymore because of the reviews there. So in some respects, these independent sites, or I say independent sites, TrustAtrader has not necessarily a reputation, but there are suspicions that TrustAtrader and other sites like that, I think it's unfair perhaps for me to highlight those, but that's the main one you hear adverts for, advertising for. Anyway, if people stop trusting them, the whole point of them being there is reduced. That's interesting, because I think, trust Amazon reviews, because there are enough people who actually quite enjoy writing Amazon reviews. That makes it all worthwhile. So you know you're going to get, on the whole, a fairly honest thing. And of course, Amazon sells enough products that even if only 1% of them review something, that is still a fair number of people reviewing it. So if that makes sense. In fact, I'll look at a product and if it says three reviews, all five stars, you think to yourself, hang on a minute, yeah, not so sure about that. But if you've got 515 reviews and an average rating, you know that's pretty much statistically likely to be more accurate. So much so that I know that some companies, if their reviewing process stops working for any particular reason or there is a bug in it, that they worry about it because people do rely on these reviews, this peer review system. Speaking of peer reviews, the last thing I was going to mention is peer recommendations. So what do we do if we don't trust the reviews? I need to get the guttering fixed on the house and I don't know where to go. And my next process is going to be, you know, it used to be the case you'd look in the Yellow Pages and take pot luck. But if I can't go to trustatrader.com, because I'm not going to, where do I go to find a reputable gutter repair person in the Luton area, except for Twitter and Facebook? And then I will know that the people who I hear from, and of course it's never going to be 100% hit rate, there may be a fantastic person who fixes gutters who lives just five doors away, but I'm not going to know who they are because the reach of my message isn't going to get far enough. So yeah, I guess that's the only way you can really do stuff is get personal recommendations for friends and family. And therefore, I offer myself up as an example. If you want a recommendation for something, I'll be happy to give it to you, either on Audioboo, over Twitter, or I'll write it on a piece of paper and stick it through your letterbox. And that's pretty much all I've got to say on it. I wasn't expecting to be talking for nearly 7 minutes, but I shall go now and finish tidying the lounge. Speak to you soon, and if you've listened to this far, I think as Pootling says, thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.